Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast.
Welcome to this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. As you heard in the introduction, I'm Pastor Doug Bronner. I'm one of the pastors here at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And these are a blast to do these podcasts. And if you listen to the first of the podcast, you know that I also had a broadcast that I was able to do on the IB network for half a year. And it was a great introduction to this. It forced me to have something to do to say every week, and that got to be a little bit much with my position as senior pastor here. And again, I deeply appreciate everything the IB Network did for me and allowing me to begin this journey of these Praying with the Eyes podcasts. And let me explain that for you a little bit. You're going, what's this thing about Praying with the Eyes? Well, I write a daily devotional blog with that same title, Praying with the Eyes, and I've been doing that since September of 2012. And it's been a great joy to do that for me. I enjoy writing, that kind of writing, which is short and brief. And I take a picture that I've taken. I'm an avid photographer. I love and I'm addicted to photography. And I tried to find a way to use those pictures. And God opened up this door of writing a blog that connects the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word. And I pray that's what happens in those devotions. And Tim Wacker from the IB Network had... We went out to Applebee's one afternoon, and he convinced me, and I'm glad he did, that we should do a broadcast that takes one of these blogs a little bit deeper than what's written. And what you have is kind of a mixture of things. Sometimes I will come up with an idea and then develop the podcast around that and write a blog around that which is... sometimes advantageous, but at other times I will, like I did in the case for today, I went back into the blogs I've written and found one that fit well with the topic we're going to take on today. So you can look at those blogs and read them, follow them on a daily basis at www.dougbronner.blogspot.com. I'm going to be transitioning those over to a website, and it's going to be prayingwiththeeyes.com. And I already have the domain name, and I'm trying to work in an area I've never worked before. Never, ever have done a website. So be patient with me if it's not up by the time these podcasts first reach iTunes. Anyway, this ministry, Praying with the Eyes ministry, is part of a larger ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, and I am so grateful again that the members of Holy Cross encourage me and allow me to do this ministry that reaches around the world, and that is very humbling. And if you'd like to find out more about us at Holy Cross, you can go to holycrosscs.org, and we would love to have you find out more about us. And anyway, if you have any questions or thoughts for me or my guest, you can email us at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. Again, that's prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, because part of this is we want to seek connections with you and what's going on. So, as I've mentioned before, I like to have a guest with me on each of these episodes, and it's much better. If you listen to episode one, you go, man, would you please have somebody else on with you? My guest today is Des Bustamante. Des, good to have you with me.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You say that now. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see where it goes. Des and I are a part of a breakfast Bible class that meets here in Colorado Springs at Village Inn. Every Thursday morning at 6 o'clock, and I don't know about you, Des, but I have people say, well, you got this breakfast Bible class. What time do you meet?
Six o'clock.
They go, I can't get that. Yeah. You've been a part of that study for how long?
Since the 80s, 80, I don't know, 85 or six. I think 86,
six.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shortly after you got here then.
Yes, Yeah. Mm-hmm. They started one that was for both men and women, and that's when I started.
Yeah, you know, because we it's a kind of a man thing.
It was a men's Bible breakfast, yeah, before.
Mm-hmm. You're a radical.
I know. I am.
I resisted. You know, I will leave unnamed the person at that time because it's no longer part of that group and no longer part of our congregation, who kept trying to get me to come and to come when I first got here in 99. I think it was about a year and a half, maybe even 2 years that I put him off. But ever since then, been a part of that group. It's fluctuated, but it's like eight. I'm not sure if it was anybody really that much more than eight average. It probably was when you first started.
Right. When I first started, we had probably 12 to sometimes 18. We were at Denny's, and it was pretty big. We had quite a few people who came.
People got up earlier in those days.
They did. I guess so.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I do get that comment from people. I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to talk about happiness. They're not happy when they get up that early in the morning. But you and I were talking before we started recording that you've been in Colorado Springs all but 6 months of your life. You're a native Nebraska. Mm-hmm. You're wearing red today. You have to.
Yeah. Go Huskers, right?
Yeah, that's right. When my first congregation was in Lincoln, and every Friday my secretary on football season wore red. Mm-hmm. Saw people out mowing their yards wearing red.
Yes. Every mall you go to the day after Thanksgiving, every TV in the mall has the games on, and everybody wears their Huskers outfits.
Yeah, but see, now you're dating yourself by that. Because, you know, that was a game. That was usually the Oklahoma-Nebraska game.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And I was privileged to go to one of those when I was there. Unfortunately, Oklahoma beat Nebraska that day. I'm definitely not an Oklahoma fan. It was fun. And you've been a member here at Holy Cross long before I came. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special place. So what we're going to take on, the topic that Des and I are going to take on today is this topic I've wrestled with for quite a while about happiness and this pursuit of happiness, which is the title of our time together today. Des, what makes you happy? What are three things that make you happy?
Let's see. Well, I know that just traveling with my husband around Colorado, we've started in the last few years just going around to different places that we either hadn't been since we were kids or new places, and in the mountains especially, and back roads, things like that. I like photography as well, and I have a camera that I take all those places and take all kinds of pictures when we go on those trips.
You don't shoot film,
No, I used to years ago, I had a nice Minolta camera then.
Yeah.
But now I have a different one.
What do you have?
It just left my mind. I have a Nikon.
Okay.
Yes.
You're one of them.
Well, my husband bought it for me.
Okay, blame it on your husband.
Well, he's an electronics guy. He used to sell cameras years ago.
That's mild when you say he's an electronics guy.
And so he actually picked it out for me and bought it for me for Christmas a few years ago. And I love it. I love photography too. I really do.
You know, you learn something new every day. I had an idea that you were, but I didn't realize. So why have you come out on us with any of our photo meetups? You got to come to.
No.
We had a great night shooting the full moon out of Garden Gods last time when the clouds and stuff. It was fun.
Part of that is because I'm a morning person and I have.
Well, that was a nighttime though.
Oh, I know. But I have to get up really early and go.
Oh, you
have
to get up early before work. Yeah, so, we were there for over 3 hours. Okay, so what else?
And I love going out with friends, and I love encouraging people. So just to meet with them one-on-one and just talk and just really, you know, encourage them or just share fellowship with them, things like that. I just love doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, for me, number one, as I thought about this, was my family gatherings right now. It wasn't always that way. You know, I didn't, sometimes family gatherings could be kind of a drudgery. Maybe that's the way it is for my kids when they come to our family gatherings, but I like having my kids, you know, getting more scattered. Now, two of my sons live fairly close. My oldest lives up in Loveland and at least once a month, if not twice a month, we see them and our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And our youngest son lives here in Colorado Springs, but our middle son, is in Iowa during the school year. He's getting his master's degree there at the University of Iowa. And just for the summer, he's got a job and moved back to Portland for the summer. And so, yeah, we're kind of scattered. So when we can all get together, it's wonderful. We have a nephew that just moved to Colorado Springs and his wife and two kids. And Janice's sister and brother-in-law live here as well. And we were just at their house on Sunday with our nephew and his family. And what a great time. That makes me happy. Another thing, you know, the obvious would have been photography. I didn't put that down. So I was like, oh, when you said it, I'm going, duh. But secondly would be when I get a good night's sleep. I'm at that age now. Getting a good night's sleep is not always, is not the norm of my life. I have to have a little bit of sleep aids to help me get, to stay asleep, not to get to sleep, but to stay asleep. I wake up at 2 and then I'm done. I'm up. So when I get a good night's sleep. And then the obvious one for those of you who know me and know me well is that when the Oregon Ducks win a football game.
Yes. Yes. I witnessed that.
My mom still, she will not watch an Oregon football game on television. She gets too nervous. Part of that is some of you know my dad went to Oregon. On a basketball, baseball scholarship, so we were forced to be Oregon fans. So let's talk a little bit more about this issue of happiness. But to do that, the pursuit of happiness, I know that sounds familiar to all of you, and somewhere along the line, you probably had to read the Declaration of Independence, maybe you've actually seen the Declaration of Independence. And what I want to do is read that portion of the Declaration talks about our pursuing happiness as I'm looking through my notes here to find it. Good grief, there it is. Okay, let me read this a little bit. It's actually not the first paragraph, second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Our forefathers wrote and signed this document. It states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments and are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as... lost my place. As to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." Again, happiness is in there, and so we grow up with in this country with this whole pursuit of happiness thing, which is kind of interesting too when you look at the history of happiness in this nation. So. I think before we go any further, you and I, Des, got to talk here a little bit about that term happiness. I think we assume that what our forefathers wrote when they said happiness means the same thing as it does today.
Oh, I think so too. Because I think today it's a state that everybody wants to be in, like, permanently. You know, you want to be happy all the time. You know, we strive for that. We give up a lot of things for happiness that maybe we shouldn't give up. It can be kind of fleeting too.
Yeah. Well, we don't really, you know, the further we get away from the writing of the Declaration of Independence, the more we lose touch with a culture and what it meant. Okay. What little research, and boy, this is, boy, rabbit holes all over the place doing research for this podcast. Those of you out there who have done more research on this would know better than I do that it seemed that for many of those who signed the Declaration of Independence, happiness was also in doing what was good for your neighbor, not just about what's good for me. I don't see that in society today.
No. In fact, I was reading something. One thing that in 2015 we are declared the 15th15th happiest country. We're number 15.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And one of the things that there was this study that a group did about what's the most important quality in their country. And we are the only ones who picked life enrichment, which, if you think about it, is really what can I do with my life that makes me happy?
Right, right.
A lot of people picked health, they picked poverty, they picked infrastructure, they picked, you know, things like that. And only three countries, I think, picked life enrichment. We were one of them.
Do you remember what the other two might have been?
One was in South America that kind of surprised me. And one was like, Brazil, I think. And the other one was in Europe somewhere.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting because...
Yeah, Brazil doesn't surprise me either. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
no.
But yeah.
Yeah, but what does it mean to pursue, too? Pursue happiness.
Mm-hmm. I think in this country, when we talk about pursuing, it's doing whatever lies in the moment that will make us happy. So, if people think, oh, I've worked hard all week, I'm going to go out and party this weekend, you know, or... I just think a lot of it is just self-fulfillment, you know?
And I would wonder if it's even about fulfillment, just self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it really about my being fulfilled to party all weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting because another thing I read on this pursuit of happiness was how much the influence of commercialism has promoted the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people go into debt thinking that they can be happy.
I don't think I know.
Yeah, I know.
I did it.
Okay. But I mean, you know, they see the latest thing that they have to have because it will make them happy. So we have the bigger house, we have the nicer car, we have the Rolex or watch or all the new purses that come out all the time, you know, and if we have that, it'll make us happy.
As soon as we buy our iPhone 6, then we want the 7 to come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Quickly. Things can go through, you know, years ago, if you bought an appliance, it lasted 10, 15, 20 years. You would never think of buying another one just because it was greater, you know, and might make your life easier.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, hey, I should have that one. That'll
Although
be great.
I'm beginning to sense that some people are maybe within the millennials, most of all. We talked about in episode 2, Pastor Jeffrey and Dave and I talked about that. They're very technologically savvy, the most technologically savvy, but you wonder, is there such a thirst for it in them, or are we going to get to a point where maybe it's the next generation after the millennials that will have this desire to go back to simplicity? Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, Des and I are going to take on the issue of happiness and our well-being. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you looking for a place where you can be welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious to fun and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe, come join the conversation.
If you have any questions come in your mind or statements or things you'd like to share, please email me at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com we'll try to get back to you. I'm terrible about emails, though, so please allow 3 months for me to answer your email. Pastor Jeffrey and I have a debate going on as to who's the worst. Des, you said something in the break there with me that I found really interesting. You said every year this happiness survey is taken.
Mm-hmm.
Who takes it, you know? Who does it?
I don't remember. I don't. I didn't write that.
But it's a happiness survey of nations.
Yes. Which country is the most happy? And the U.S., like, hasn't broken the top 10 in quite a few years. And
says something about pursuing happiness and attaining happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And most of the countries, we that hit the, in the top, we don't think of them as being happy necessarily. You know, they're ones that maybe don't have the best economies or don't have, they have small homes. They're, you know, known for doing other things than just acquiring stuff.
Okay, so let's talk about, we hit on it, but we're going to start this time talking a little bit more about pursuing happiness. Mm-hmm. One of the things I had read, too, talked about happiness really is the result of things, not the goal. Mm-hmm. When you make happiness the goal, that becomes part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too, because you will do anything. If happiness is your only goal, you will do anything to attain it, right? Even things that might not be your best for your well-being. Yes. or for other people's well-being.
Well, and so let's get into that. There's studies out there, and I tried saying the word for the branch of medicine that looks at it. We'll call it PNI, which is simply psycho neuro immunology. Yeah. Those are one of those words that just does not roll off of my tongue. Mm-hmm. So I would never be good in that field. but anyway, what it does, it looks at the effect of our emotions and our state of state of our emotions on our happiness and well-being, more on well-being, not happiness. I think the one thing we can agree to, most people agree to, and research agree to, is that depression, like clinically depressed people, it does have an effect on their physical well-being. Mm-hmm. The chemicals change in their body. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've experienced that. I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. I see it in my own health.
Yeah. I think there are times, if you have any kind of trauma or anything like that, you know, then you're not happy. It does have a big effect on your system. I know it can have an effect on my allergies. They can get much worse if I'm ill or struggling with something, or if a lot of bad things happen. You're just because you're worn down. Emotionally and mentally.
Well, you're not sleeping.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of the interaction between our emotions and our body. You know, I appreciate the fact we don't compartmentalize so much. We see kind of things holistically. It does have an effect. But what's interesting to me in the one article I read from nature.com on immunology and the pursuit of happiness, it says there's a lot of debate out there among doctors as to happiness positively affecting your immune system. There are doctors that say, yes, it does, and doing research on it, and others who are very skeptical about it. I find that interesting. We'll say it's okay when a negative emotion, but when we're happy...
Yeah, when we're happy. Although, there is a lot of correlation, too, with endorphins. You know, endorphins are released when we're happy, when we're having, you know, when something good is happening. They even, I think, have done studies on when you are praying, when you have, you know, in a more spiritual type frame of mind, you are doing much better too. It helps a lot. When you have cancer, what they want you to be positive. They want you to have a good outlook, and they want you to do things like pray, because it really does change your immune system and how you feel. And so,
When I've walked with cancer patients to that, because I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The difficulty in that one becomes when they get to that point and it's, they've been ingrained in being this way and fighting their cancer until it may even prolong their life at that point. But when they get to that point where the cancer wins, is winning.
Right.
And I've had people I know continue to try to remain positive, when really the better thing would be at that point is to embrace, and we're going to talk about this later in another segment, to embrace, I'm dying, it's okay.
Yeah. That is, I think, where you let joy take over, where you let God fill you with joy, which is different from happiness, and that you don't just think, oh, I have to be happy in the middle of this because people expect it, or I should.
Well, the last part
whatever.
Is really, but that's probably most of the time when somebody says that and being trying to be positive, it's not for themselves.
Right. It's for other people, who's around them. When really what you just, you know, I think what is more important is that you allow God's indwelling in you, that you allow just him to live in you and abide in you and have his joy.
Yeah, because at times I'm going to feel sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And the pursuit of happiness here in the sense of well-being, mm-hmm. okay, There's a negative side to this brought out, and these are by secular people, not by Christians. Mm-hmm. And I know Des and I are talking in really kind of generic terms about spirituality right now, but in the last segment of today's episode, we'll get into that more, so mm-hmm. hang with us to that. But that there is this relationship between thinking with being happy and the effects it can have on my behavior mm-hmm. and what I do. If I make that my goal to be happy, then it opens up a whole new world of morality. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be absurd here just to get the point across of what I'm talking about. So if the most important thing to my health and my well-being is being happy, and I dare not embrace being sad because that's just not right, and that's kind of another issue. If I remember, we'll get back to that. I say that a lot, and I never do. But I will if making myself happy improves my immune system. To be absolutely absurd here, then if killing another person makes me happy, then I'm going to kill somebody because it's going to help me and help me stay healthy and so forth. And that sounds ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so stating the absurd, let's not state the so absurd because this has been in my experience too. That a spouse has an affair with another person because that spouse says, my spouse is not making me happy. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe they even divorce their spouse. But it's all about happy. It's about a feeling of happiness. And then that gets translated into, well, if I'm not happy with this person, I must not be in love with this person anymore. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's more real. I mean, and that's where this can go, yeah. If this pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, no matter anything you do has consequences for your soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are going to add to the dark places in your soul, because we all have dark places in our lives.
Absolutely.
And so when you break those, you know, laws, those commandments, when you do those things that are not good for other people, you're not considering other people's happiness, obviously, in that case either, or their well-being of any kind. That is going to literally affect your soul and the people around you. And then that stuff builds up. And the more it builds up, I think, then the more you try to find happiness in other ways. And it just gets worse and worse and worse.
I think you even hinted at it a while back. Maybe I'm wrong, but the happiness can be fleeting.
Oh, yeah. It's very fleeting. I mean, you can be happy one day, and what happens the next day if you get in a car accident. Think of those people on the train accident lately, you know, who died. They were on their way home or to work, whichever one. And they got injured, or they lost loved ones. I mean, happiness, you know, you can get in an accident, you can come up with a bad diagnosis, you can lose loved ones, anything. You can even just have little things like you lose your job, things like that, which have a profound effect on you. So it is very fleeting.
I would assume you probably have had the same experience I've had too, where you can even have the same experience, and one day it makes you happy, and another day it doesn't even affect you.
Sure.
You know, an example of that would be, I don't think I'm stretching here for people, when in worship, in the context of worship, mm-hmm. you come one Sunday and it's just inspiring. You're feeling great. You walk out, and the next Sunday, not due to the pastor, 'cause the pastor is phenomenal.
of course, certainly.
Due to other things. No, just, no. You can go to worship, and the next Sunday, and not have that same experience, and probably won't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fleeting. It just comes and it goes in our life. A thought came to my mind, Des, so I think we better be clear here, too. We're not saying it's wrong to be happy.
No, not at all.
No, I'm not saying it at all. In fact, it's great to feel happy. I'm feeling pretty happy right now. And it's a good feeling. It's a feeling. What we're talking about is making this the goal of life. The goal of life is to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's where I have a problem.
Right.
Because then it does not allow me, in the well-being of my person, which we're talking about here, to embrace the times of sadness.
Right. Which God can use in other people's lives, in your life, for a lot of productive witness, you know, for to encourage other people to be able to be there and walk with them in their times of sadness, to, you know, to love them and care for them as he commanded us to do. You know, it's hard to love your neighbor as yourself if all you are doing is pursuing happiness and they are
exactly.
sad because something happened and you're not walking with them because you're thinking, I don't want to do anything with that grief. That's, or, you know, I can't help.
And Des, I find within myself that struggle though. I find within myself, and this is, I was reflecting on this as preparing for this in my own journey in life. Mm-hmm. Happiness has been very important to me. Mm-hmm. And so, there's those moments in my life when I'm called to enter into someone's grief and pain. And instead of saying, wow, what an opportunity, I sit there and go, oh, it's going to make me sad. It's going to be pain. No, I'll say more. It's going to be very painful. That's usually what comes to my mind.
And, you know, that's just it. As our society is so afraid to embrace pain and sadness. We do everything we can to avoid it.
Yes, we do.
And it's like, I think we're missing out on a lot of God's blessings because of it. Because you're going to be sad. Why not share that with someone? Why not share their pain and their sadness? Is it easy? No. But Jesus did it when he was here on earth. You know, when Lazarus died, he wept. He was sad. And that's what we're called to be to other people, you know, is to show them God's love and walk with them in their pain. And how can we ever think that we could bring somebody to him, you know, to Christ, if we don't share it, those things in their life?
Yeah, it's going to be phony.
Yeah, it has to be real. But we shouldn't avoid pain all the time. I know, you know, it's pain isn't fun. Oh, it's awful.
And we're not saying to pursue pain.
No, I'm not saying it. But if it happens, don't go out of your way to avoid it. Learn what God has in it for you.
Right.
I'm not saying that, you know, and because we tend to question God. Why did you bring me this? Why did you do this? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we may never know that answer, but we will. But God turns everything, you know, makes everything good. That means that in it, you can learn things. You can strengthen your faith. You can have a sense of purpose in the pain.
Absolutely. And if it actually opens up a whole new world,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say that in those moments of a human emotion of sadness, I can embrace the sadness. Mm-hmm. I can embrace the pain. Knowing that it's not going to be my life doing that. That's not what I'm saying. But at that moment, and I think you're right. You're right on target. It does open up doors in a way that also are open when we're happy. It's like both mm-hmm. and. It's not an either or. It's a both and. You know, happiness can open up some really intimate moments with God even. When we're and that's probably more related to joy, which we're going to get in the last segment. But it's good. But the wide... Okay, so for me, the picture of this is Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, mm-hmm. and that little verse, Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. You know, he embraced the fullness of the emotion mm-hmm. at that time. Mm-hmm. John doesn't explain why he wept, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm glad he doesn't, because it leaves a whole area for us to explore in our walk with Christ. But if Jesus is God in human flesh, and the number one goal of life is to be happy. Shouldn't he have always been happy?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that wasn't the number one goal.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. Okay, so we're going to take a break again.
Okay.
And this is fun. And I appreciate, Des, you being on. And I'm hoping that this is challenging you as you're listening to us talk about it, maybe taking you into an area you haven't really thought about before. When we come back, we're going to talk about happiness versus meaning. So we'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment in our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
The Praying with the Eyes ministry is a part of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I've been privileged to be a pastor for nearly 16 years now. And if you want to find out more about Holy Cross and what's going on here, we invite you to check out our website at www.holycrosscs.org. What we see is our calling by God upon our congregation is to encourage those who hunger to be nourished by Him. And we pray that's what this Praying with the Eyes ministry does. It nourishes that faith or kindles the faith inside of you and wants you to dig deeper into God's love for you as is it revealed to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And what a joy it is to be able to be a part of these podcasts with you. Viktor Frankl wrote, "It is the very pursuit of happiness that thwarts happiness." Some of you may know that name, Viktor Frankl. He wrote a book on his experiences as a prisoner in a German concentration camp. And let me give you a little background on it, and I hope I'm not, I hope I'm saying the story correctly. But it's my understanding that Viktor Frankl had made quite a name for him as a psychiatrist and a neurologist in Vienna. And that he had been doing some work with suicide before the war. And he saw the handwriting on the wall with Hitler taking power and applied for a visa to the United States, which he received. And I'm assuming his wife, too, is just newly married. And he had had to consider his aging parents, that they would not be coming, and he knew for certain that they would be taken off to a concentration camp or whatever it was. Maybe they didn't know that they would be arrested, probably would be the better way of saying it, by the Nazis. And so he had to make a decision. He could go to the United States and become a probably very well-known psychiatrist, save his life and his wife's life. And he chose not to instead. He chose to stay. And he was sent to a concentration camp. His parents died. And his wife, who was pregnant, died in these concentration camps. This kind of comes home to me. I finished off, some of you have watched the HBO miniseries called Band of Brothers. And I did. Don't watch if you're faint of heart. I mean, it's pretty realistic. Tom Hanks was a part of it. If you watch Saving Private Ryan, it's kind of that, but more intense than that in many ways. I watched the last two episodes yesterday, and in the second to last episode, they come across a concentration camp. And the way they dealt with it, in the program, I felt was very well done. Difficult, very difficult. You see that whoever was directing that episode really struggled with it at the same time. And how do you portray these soldiers who had no clue that these things were even in existence? And what was their experience when they come across this group of Jewish and ethnic and Christian people who were sent to these political people too, who were sent to these concentration camps? And so when he was in the concentration camp, he was able to help other prisoners, some who were on the brink of suicide themselves, by getting them to say, what is there for you worth living for? And, you know, they would come up with family reasons or some other issue that they could look forward to have meaning in their life that would keep them alive during this horrific experience. And so he sees more important than our pursuit of happiness is our involvement in living a meaningful life, having purpose in our life. He would state that purpose means I'm giving myself away, which may not make me happy in doing that. And that happiness, and especially in today's terms, means that I do what I can to make myself happy, as we've been talking about. And again, we're not trying to say being happy is wrong, but it's making it the pinnacle of our life to be happy. So, Des, with what I've shared there, and you shared with me, you work for Compassion International, mm-hmm. and you've traveled all over, mm-hmm. And you've seen people who are happy in some of the most dire situations. Do you see this idea that meaning and purpose in life, as you travel and experience this, as being of greater value than pursuing happiness?
Oh, very much so. Yes. I've seen families who have nothing. They live in just like a shack, and they're lucky if the roof doesn't leak, and they have dirt floors, and they sometimes the husband just has a job if there is a husband or a father figure in the home. But what I've seen is that when we register their children in our project, and they know that our children have hope, their children have hope that for a better future, for to have education, to have be able to even just dream about what they want to do, those mothers are just ecstatic, and then their lives start to change because they have hope that their children are actually going to have a good life.
So I would guess purpose for them then, for those moms mm-hmm. specifically, would be their purpose is to see it through. Because
yes.
as you and I know, because we've talked about it, I had Jeff and Lori Fonts on the broadcast a while back, and we talked about Le Patrique mm-hmm. and some of the struggle those parents have
yes.
with keeping their children in the project,
yes.
not letting the other forces, the drug culture,
right.
whatever else is there, mm-hmm. to pull them away from that project. So they also now have a purpose of making sure their son, their daughter, mm-hmm. stays engaged in the project.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the mothers may work for the project. They may go volunteer in the classrooms.
A lot do.
Yeah, and they may cook the meals. They help. They all band together. They learn new skills. They find ways to make more income. They nurture all the children. Kind of the it takes a village thing they talk about. To raise a child. And so the whole community is affected, and people start to have purpose, and then they start thinking, oh, we could build a better classroom, we could do all these other things, and then there's hope in that community, which there wasn't before. So all these people have a purpose, and it seems like then when you ask them, how they feel, they say they're happy. They own nothing. They have nothing. But sometimes their clothes on their backs and a little house, but they are the happiest people because they also, then they come to know the Lord. They know that they have support in each other. And they have a purpose for their lives. And that's, I think, the best form of how you can be happy.
Well, you said something that kind of pulled together for me, and I maybe I'm wrong, but that word hope is powerful because hope deals with the future.
Mm-hmm.
So Frankl is talking with people in emaciated, no food, mm-hmm. terrible working living situation, and he's instilling hope through a sense of purpose. And hope always deals with the future. Hope is, even Scripture talks about this, right? That hope doesn't. Who hopes for what he has? We hope for what we don't yet have.
Right.
And so that hope is a vision about the future, that there is a reason because there's a future. Happiness, on the other hand, deals with the present.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And so if happiness is what I'm looking for to energize my life, I'm in a concentration camp. It ain't a happy experience.
No.
There's nothing there for me to cling on to. No happiness. Why not commit suicide? I'm going to die anyway, right? They see it happening all around them. And losing hope is critical. And when you deal with people like in suicide and mm-hmm. and those kind of things in life.
Mm-hmm. We talk about the poverty of hope. If there's no hope,
of hope.
Yeah, if you don't have poverty, that's how a lot of poverty is. It's actually not having hope, okay? Because then you won't. How can you better your situation, yourself, that of others, because you have no hope? And that's what is more important to instill in someone is the fact that, hey, that if you look toward the future, if we can give you these tools or you have, if we can nurture you or help you or, come alongside you and do something toward a goal that's going to be lasting or at least more, you know, more of the future, then that is where we can give you hope. And then this temporary happiness isn't going to matter.
And what hit me when you were talking too is when I lose hope, I become an animal.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause all I am is just living in the present. Mm-hmm. And what makes us uniquely different from the animal world, outside of our ability to find me, well, this is find meaning in life, is our ability to hope. Mm-hmm. An animal doesn't need hope.
No,
they don't. They don't. There's no rational being in them. There's no, as you and I talk about, soul, the God-given soul to that animal, and we do. And so hope becomes a part of this meaning, and it's much more powerful than happiness. Again, I'm not putting down happiness.
No.
But if we're going to try to make that the pursuit, again, the number one pinnacle of life, you know, those of you listening to this podcast, let me tell you why I'm passionate about this. It's because I work with too many people, or seem to work with. I see too many people who make happiness their goal and are extremely unhappy. God wants more for us than just to lose our souls to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for me, especially if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this, I'm so grateful you're listening. For me, this is the reason why my faith in Jesus Christ is so important. Is hope rooted in right now my life, but also the hope of an eternity with Him,
mm-hmm. and the hope of knowing that you can be joyful even if you can't be happy in the certain circumstances that you're in at the moment.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So with that, Des, let's take a break at that point, because we'll get into the. The blog next, which deals with this issue of joy and happiness. And I really want to challenge you about, you listeners, about the difference between joy and happiness, and that God's gift to us is a gift of joy, and it goes deeper than happiness. So I want to tease that out with you, and we'll do that in our next segment. I hope you stick with us.
Are you looking for a place where you can be welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious to fun and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe, come join the conversation.
In this last segment of our time together, I want to go over a blog I wrote. I wrote it 2 years ago, almost exactly when I wrote it. Reposted it on June 1st, the day that these podcasts should be coming out. So if you want to read it, you can find it at my blogging site, which is Doug Brauner. That's DougBrauner. www.dougbrauner.blogspot.com. That will be changing over to the website, and maybe even by the time you hear this, because I'm recording it before it comes out. Maybe by the time these podcasts come out, that website will be up and running. I'm hoping it is, but we'll see how that goes. Let me explain the picture, and you're saying, what picture? Well, let me tell you where you can find the picture. If the website is up, you'll find it at prayingwiththeeyes.com. You will find that picture. And if it's not up, you can go to the Holy Cross's website, holycrosscs.org. At the very bottom of our homepage is a little tab for Praying with the Eyes. You click on that, and it'll take you to a table of pictures, and the picture will be there. And I would love to have you join my Facebook group as well, page as well. And I always post it there. I post it on my regular Facebook account and Holy Cross's Facebook account and on the Praying with the Eyes Facebook group. So, you know, there's those places to find it. Nothing really outstanding about this picture. It was... In May, there's a nice park north of Colorado Springs, Fox Run Regional Park. And we'll go up there. Janice and I will go up there. We'll take the dog and we'll walk some of the trails that are up there. And kind of a neat place to go. And in May, there were signs of life again coming about. Trees were starting to show signs of life, bushes and so forth. And Des, since it was 2 years ago, I still think this is a branch of an aspen. Even though they don't have seeds, they have that kind of stuff that comes out. I got rid of all my aspen in my yard. and everybody thinks about, oh, you can go to Colorado, you can have aspen trees. Yeah, they're a weed. Come here, do you want to get rid of your aspen trees out of your yard? They are a pain. I'm still getting rid of all the suckers out of my yard. And the tree's been gone for I don't know how many years now. But anyway, it was signs of life and just a picture of these aspen starting to show that sign of life as the sap started flowing again and so forth. The passage that I used that connected, because like I said, the Praying with the Eyes ministry is about connecting the beauty of God's Word with the beauty of His creation. So the beauty of God's Word comes from Psalm 16:11. You lead me in the path of life. I experience absolute joy in your presence. You always give me sheer delight. And that's from the New English translation. Probably different than what you've heard before. I kind of like that translation. It's why I chose it, because the uniqueness, the way it said, talks about absolute joy. As I mentioned in the last segment, I want to talk a little bit here with you about the difference between happiness and joy. Joy is kind of interesting in the Greek language, and those of you may not be aware, the New Testament was written in what's called a form of Koine or Common Greek. It was the language of commerce in the world at that time. If you knew Greek, you could probably communicate with anybody in the known world. And so the New Testament was written in Greek because anybody could read it, any place they were in the known world. Like you say, known worlds, you and I know there were people elsewhere that were not... they weren't aware of. Anyway, the Greek word for joy and grace come from the same root, So joy is related to grace, and grace is not something we conjure up inside of us. Grace is something that is given to us by God. In the scriptures, we learn that we are deserving of nothing but hell and separation from God because of the brokenness of our sinful condition, that we decided to say, God, we don't want to do things your way. We want to be God ourselves. And grace is God's love for us that forgives us even for our rebellion against Him. And God, like a judge sitting behind His bench, bangs His gavel down and says, not guilty of sin. And He does that because of His Son, Jesus Christ. So joy is related to something that comes outside of us, declared to us by God, and a gift given to us. Happiness has its roots in the word happenstance. So I'm happy when things are going well, and I'm not happy when things are not going well. That's just life. It's not good or bad. It just is. And so the gift that God has to give us is the gift of joy. And Des, you've talked to me some more about this. You're pretty passionate about this.
Yeah, because I would much rather have joy than happiness any day, because no joy is something that can happen at any time and at any moment through anything. And happiness, you can be happy for 5 minutes and then not the next 5 minutes.
And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just the way it is. But I'd rather, like in the Psalms, you know, feel joy in God's presence and then have Him give me the sheer delight of being in His presence. That is just awesome, because that's for eternity. Because, you know, just this earth is fleeting, but I'd rather have this for eternity.
Well, you said something that's really important too, God's presence. Mm-hmm. Okay, God's presence. The psalmists even say this, you know, if I descend to Sheol, you're there, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't matter we cannot escape the presence of God. Now, a lot of people hear that in terms of judgment, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God sees everything you do, the seeing eye of God, you know, and all of that. And it's like God's watching you, kind of like a glorified Santa Claus. And he's watching Naughty Nice, making his list. That's not the biblical picture of the ever-present God.
Right.
We can't escape his mercy.
Right, we can't. I mean, he loves us no matter what, and he walks with us no matter what. And, you know, it's just like if you have a relationship with a friend, they love you, they care about you, and whatever. So it's kind of like that with Jesus, except that he's perfect, he's loving, his love is totally unconditional. If you do nothing, he still loves you.
Right.
But you can have fellowship with him at any time. He walks you through the good, the bad. He's with you when you're happy. He's with you when you're sad. He's with you, you know, he gives you the joy that you need. So that, I think, is much more powerful than when we pursue our own happiness.
And we can't make him love us anymore or make us,
right,
him love us any less.
Right.
His love is perfect for us. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, as you're talking, and maybe some of the listeners out there, what they're struggling with is, I need some tangible evidence of that love. Because we're talking about a Jesus who we do not see, mm-hmm, and who we only see with the eyes of faith. As Jesus himself said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, people always struggle with that. But yet there's a lot of things in life that aren't tangible that you believe in or pursue. Mm-hmm. Like happiness. How tangible is happiness? Not really. You can't grasp it.
We live with the lie that we think it is.
Yeah, yeah. We live
that happiness is contained in a thing or a person.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But just a relationship with Jesus and it a lot. Yes, it does. It comes down to faith. It comes down to the Holy Spirit. You know, giving you the faith to believe,
exactly,
to believe. But that's a free gift too. Okay. All you have to do is, you know, I mean, Jesus reaches out and chooses you
and we receive
to love
it.
Him.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
We receive it.
Yeah. And, boy, it takes a lot of pressure off too. Cause and then when it comes to happiness, I'm responsible for my happiness. I pursue happiness. Get back to that thing. I pursue happiness. So I'm responsible for my happiness. Mm-hmm. When it comes to joy, I'm not responsible for my joy.
Right.
Joy comes in a gift that God unwraps for us in his son, Jesus Christ, and in his promises. Mm-hmm. And that's really what makes this journey of faith really unique. Again, you know, within that experience of joy, there can be a sense of true happiness,
mm-hmm,
and it's not, mm-hmm, really focused on me.
Right.
Joy can be experienced when we are in some of the most painful situations of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a verse that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Doesn't mean used to think that meant that there was a division, you know, weeping, you weep at night, there's joy in the morning. Now I'm thinking more that it's weeping comes for a night. It may still be there, but God gives you joy for free in the morning, okay, you know, okay, through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you can have joy no matter what the circumstance.
And that's where I also would connect peace. Cause one of the things,
right,
that comes to my mind as we talk about joy being this gift of God to us, that with that joy also comes a sense of peace, which the Bible talks about going beyond our understanding, mm-hmm, and having that. I've experienced this in so many people's lives. In a terrible tragedies of their life, they have a peace that you can't describe.
Right.
And I relate that also to joy. Well, Des, thanks for being on with me in this third broadcast of Praying with the Eyes. Joy to have you, and we're not,
thanks,
done probably. We'll probably be back again talking about related topics, well, because something will happen
to
in breakfast Bible class, and we'll say, hey, how about we talk about this issue?
Really? Okay.
It would be great. It would be great. But I thank all of you for listening and downloading this podcast today. And again, I encourage you to please rate on iTunes the podcast. It helps it keep up front of all the many podcasts that are out there. Rate it and review it. I will read those reviews And they'll be helpful to making this podcast the best that it can be. My happiness is not dependent on that. So.
All right.
I just want it to be the best. I want to continue to touch people's lives and in your lives. And so please do that if you would. Please rate it on iTunes. You can also find all these podcasts on SoundCloud. If you go to soundcloud.com and search for Praying with the Eyes, you'll be brought to my page where I have all my recordings, not only of these podcasts and a few of the broadcasts. I don't have all the broadcasts up on SoundCloud, but I have some. But you will also find there the daily devotional blog, the audio version of it. And so we'd love to have you go there. Again, you can follow the daily devotional at www.dougbronner.blogspot.com. If you have questions or thoughts about today's podcast, please email them to me. And even if they're for Des, I'll make sure that she gets them as well. Email me at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. I invite you once again to visit our website, the Holy Cross website, at www.holycrosscs, as in Colorado Springs, holycrosscs.org. And hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the Praying with the Eyes website will be up too, and you can check that out at prayingwiththeeyes.com. If you don't have a church home and you live in the Colorado Springs community, we'd love to have you come by Holy Cross and join us for worship. We have a traditional worship at 8 o'clock and kind of a blended between traditional and contemporary at 9:30 and a contemporary worship at 11 o'clock. On Sunday mornings, we also have Bible classes for children and adults at 9:30. At 11 o'clock, it's for adults only, but we'd love to have you join us. We are involved here in a ministry called Life Tree Cafe, where we take on issues similar to what Des and I talked about today. And our Life Tree Cafes meet here at Holy Cross on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11:45 to 12:45. But there are Life Tree Cafes around this nation. I don't know if they're around the world yet, but I do know they're around this nation. So you might want to go to www.lifetreecafe.com and see if there is a Life Tree Cafe that meets in a town in your town or town close to you. You're sure welcome to follow me on Twitter at Praying with Eyes, not the Eyes, the Twitter kind of cuts off the number of letters you can use, so it's Praying with Eyes. Or you can join my Facebook Praying with the Eyes group page. We'd love to have you come there and post pictures that you take and comment on other pictures, and it's kind of meant to be a encouraging Facebook page. Or you can go to the, like I said, the Praying with the Eyes website. Again, that's prayingwiththeeyes.com. It's been good to have you with us, and I look forward to you being with us in our next episode.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Laird Production, which you may contact at lairdproduction.com. For thoughts and questions that you may have, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media account. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.